welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Thursday, April 28th, and we had just two games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Milwaukee, the 3-6 matchup of the Eastern Conference is now finished as the Bucks defeated the Bulls. 116-100, they closed the series out 4-1 and will be advancing to the second round of the playoffs, whereas the Bulls are now eliminated. And in the Western Conference, it was the exact same story. The 3-6 matchup, the Warriors defeating the Nuggets 102-98, closing the series out 4-1, and the Warriors are now advancing to round 2, whereas the Nuggets are eliminated from the postseason. So we will break down both of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Milwaukee, where the Bucks defeated the Bulls 116-100, closing the series out 4-1. And the Bucks were led in this game by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 33 points, and they also got 14 and 17 from Bobby Portis, and 20 points off the bench from Pat Connaughton. Whereas the Bulls were led by Patrick Williams in the starting lineup. He had 23 points, and then they also got a big double-double from Nikola Vucevic, 19 and 16, and 17 points off the bench from Kobe White. But unfortunately for the Bulls, their series sort of sputtered out here as injuries were mounting. There was no Zach LaVine in this game, no Alex Caruso, and of course, still no Lonzo Ball either. So the shorthanded Bulls in the end handily defeated by the Milwaukee Bucks, who, to be fair, are a bit shorthanded themselves as well, with Chris Middleton still unavailable. But it did not matter in the slightest in this game, as the Bucks were just completely dominant. They outscored the Bulls from the jump. It was 34-18 after the first quarter, and then the Bucks just basically maintained a double-digit lead throughout the rest of the game. It waxed and waned a little bit. It ballooned, actually, midway through the second quarter, all the way to, like, almost 30 after a three-pointer from Wesley Matthews with 7:25 on the clock. It was 49-20 in favor of the Bucks. So pretty quickly this game got out of hand. The Bulls did at the very least cut the deficit to about 20 by halftime. Well, it was 22 to be specific. And then they almost made things interesting at the very beginning of the third quarter after a free throw from Ayo Dosunmu. It was actually an 11-point game. It was 66-55 with 9:32 left on the clock in the third. So Chicago almost got back into it, but then the Bucks re-extended their lead pretty handily throughout the rest of the third quarter. Overall, they outscored the Bulls 31-26 in the third, so they had built up a 23-point lead once again by the beginning of the fourth quarter. So pretty much throughout this game, a completely dominant Bucks win. And that is borne out by the stats, obviously. 49% shooting for the Bucks, 38% from beyond the arc. The Bulls, just 28% from three, and 42% from the field. Now, both teams, to be fair, had 16 turnovers, but the Bucks totally dominated on the boards. They out-rebounded Chicago 51-37. Giannis had 9 rebounds, Portis had 17, and then Holiday and Lopez both had 5. Whereas for the Bulls, it was pretty much just Vucevic doing his best on his own in the paint. He had 16 rebounds, to be fair, but nobody else in the starting lineup had more than 3. So like I said, a pretty disappointing end to the Bulls season considering how successful they were early in the year. Of course, if you were looking at this from a preseason perspective, it would be a fairly successful season, all things considered. I mean, getting eliminated by the defending champions in the first round of the playoffs in the 3-6 matchup, that's not too bad at all. But it just stings a little bit because the Bulls at the beginning of the season were one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference with, like I said, Lonzo and Caruso and LaVine and DeRozan all playing incredibly well. They were very encouraging and exciting there at the beginning of the year, but things fell off pretty quickly, like I said, and so the Bulls are now eliminated from the postseason, and the Bucks, on the other hand, will be advancing to the second round where they will face the Boston Celtics in the second round matchup, a very enticing series. Many have predicted this to be the de facto Eastern Conference Finals, so we are looking forward to that one, the Giannis versus Jason Tatum matchup. It's going to be fascinating to watch that series unfold, and we'll preview it at some point prior to the first game, which is going to be on Sunday, this Sunday, May the 1st. All right, so anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Bulls were led, as I mentioned, by Patrick Williams. He had 23 points on a very efficient 9 of 13 shooting. He was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc, and he had 1 rebound, 1 block. Although, that being said, he was negative 24 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. They also got 19 points from Nikola Vucevic in 37 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. He didn't get to the free throw line at all, but he had 16 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 blocks. And then they also got 11 points from DeMar DeRozan, but he was just 5 of 10 from the field in 43 minutes. Disappointing end to his season, to be sure. He had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. 8 points for Ayo Dosunmu, the rookie. He was 3 of 11 from the field, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. And 3 points for Javonte Green in 27 minutes, and he was 1 of 8 from the field. He had 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 7 steals, 4 turnovers. The turnovers were a real problem for the starters. There was 4 for Green, 4 for Williams, 3 for Vooch, and 2 for DeRozan. But still, 7 steals is incredible stuff for Green, despite his very inefficient shooting. And off the bench for the Bulls, they got 17 points from Coby White, the backup guard. In 32 minutes, he was 6 of 16 from the field, 4 of 13 from 3. He had 3 rebounds and 4 assists. And then they also got 10 points from Troy Brown Jr. in 23 minutes. He had 2 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. 9 points for Derrick Jones Jr. And that was actually it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Bulls. Tristan Thompson and Tony Bradley saw the court briefly, but neither of them scored. And as for the Bucks, they were led, of course, by the two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 33 points on 11 of 15 shooting. He was 11 of 14 from the free throw line. He had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and he was plus 18 in the plus-minus. That was the team high. Incredible efficiency for Giannis, going 11 of 15 from the field. And then the big double-double for Bobby Portis, still in the starting lineup, as Chris Middleton is not available. He had 14 points, 17 rebounds in 32 minutes. He was 6 of 13 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers and 1 assist as well. And then starting alongside Portis and Giannis is Brooke Lopez. They're going with a 3-big lineup, basically 3 power forward center-sized guys. Lopez had 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 blocks in 29 minutes. And then they also got 10 points from the point guard Drew Holiday. He was 4 of 14 from the field in 36 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 9 assists, although he also had 6 turnovers. And then 8 points for Wesley Matthews, rounding out the starting lineup. He had 4 assists, 1 rebound, and 4 steals. And off the bench for the Bucks, they got 20 points from Pat Connaughton. He was on fire in this game, 7 of 11 from the field, including 6 three-pointers in 23 minutes. He had 2 rebounds as well. And then they also got 13 points from Grayson Allen. He was also knocking down three-pointers. He was 5 of 10 from the field overall, 3 of 6 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds as well. And then 6 points for Javon Carter in 21 minutes, and that was pretty much it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Bucks. The rest of the guys saw the court briefly, but none of them scored, and Serge Ibaka was 0 of 4 from the field in 7 minutes. All right, and next we can move on to San Francisco, where the Warriors defeated the Nuggets in the 3-6 matchup of the Western Conference, 102-98, closing the series out 4-1. Golden State is now advancing to the second round, where they'll face the winner of the Minnesota-Memphis series, and the Nuggets are now eliminated from the postseason. The Warriors were led, of course, by Steph Curry, who was reinserted back into the starting lineup, and he had 30 points, including 5 three-pointers. And then they got 15 points from Klay Thompson and 15 points off the bench from Gary Payton II. Whereas the Nuggets were led by who else but the reigning MVP. He had 30 points, 19 rebounds, and 8 assists, leading the team in all 3 categories, as he often does. And then they also got 19 points off the bench from DeMarcus Cousins and 15 points from Aaron Gordon. But this was a really disappointing loss in the end for the Nuggets, because they were actually leading heading into the fourth quarter. They had dominated Golden State in the third, outscoring them 30-22. So despite being down early in this game, they were actually leading by 8 heading into the fourth quarter. But the Warriors closed things out emphatically in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Nuggets in the end 32-20 in the fourth. And so they were able to close the gap and then ultimately take the lead down the stretch. It was a really exciting finish. We'll go through it all in just a moment. But just to run through a few stats real quick, because they kind of paint an interesting picture. So both teams are actually similar from the field overall. The Nuggets 44%, the Warriors 45%. But the three-point shooting is where things started to split. The Warriors, very efficient, as you might expect. 41% from three. The Nuggets, on the other hand, just 20% from beyond the arc. That is atrocious. And then they didn't do themselves any favors either with the turnovers. They had 15 turnovers, whereas the Warriors, very clean with the ball, just 10. That is something that they struggle with sometimes, but only 10 turnovers is not bad at all for the Warriors, despite the fact that Steph Curry himself had 5. So how were the Nuggets even in this game at all? If the shooting from the field overall was similar, and then the Warriors had a big advantage in three-point shooting and turnovers, well, the Nuggets crushed the Warriors on the glass. They out-rebounded Golden State 50-37, thanks in large part to those 19 rebounds from Jokic. Jokic. And then they also got 9 rebounds from Jeff Green, 8 from Aaron Gordon. And then off the bench, DeMarcus Cousins had 4. The Warriors, on the other hand, didn't have anybody with double-digit rebounds. Klay Thompson actually led the way in that regard. He had 9. But like I said, this was an exciting finish. The Warriors were trailing heading into the fourth quarter, the Nuggets outscoring the Warriors in that third quarter, and so they were up by 8 heading into the fourth. But the Warriors pretty quickly started to chip away at that lead, and by about halfway through the fourth quarter, it was 6:57 left on the clock when Gary Payton II hit a clutch three-pointer off of an Otto Porter assist, and that finally gave the Warriors the lead again. It was 86-84 at that point, and then it was just back and forth throughout the rest of this game. Actually, following that three-pointer from Gary Payton, there was a very long lull where neither team scored for like 3 minutes straight. It wasn't until 4 minutes to go in the game when somebody finally broke the tie. It was Klay Thompson. He hit a little five-footer that put the Warriors up by 4, 88-84. And then throughout the final stretch of this game, it was just really exciting back and forth. Nikola Jokic was incredible in the final stretch. He scored 12 of his 30 points in the final 3:46 of the game, whereas Curry scored 11 points in the fourth quarter as well. So both of those guys, those two former MVPs, were just going back and forth. So first, with 3:46 on the clock, Jokic goes to the free throw line. He hits 2 free throws, cutting the deficit to 2, 88-86 at that point. But then Steph Curry comes right back, responds with a pull-up 19-footer off of a Gary Payton assist. So that one re-extends the lead for the Warriors to 4. But then Nikola Jokic comes right back, hits a 13-foot driving floating jump shot, cutting the lead to 2. And then after a missed 3-pointer from Otto Porter, he hits another 19-foot jump shot, and that one ties the game up 90-all. So really incredible play from Jokic and Curry down the stretch, just going back and forth. Eventually, Gary Payton made a 5-footer off of a Steph Curry assist. That one gave the Warriors a 2-point lead again, and then Steph Curry himself made a 5-footer, extending that lead back to 4. So back and forth and back and forth. So then, naturally, who comes back and hits another jump shot with 1:28 left on the clock? Nikola Jokic. He cuts it to 2, and then Gary Payton hits another clutch 3-pointer after that one earlier that gave the Warriors the lead about halfway through the fourth quarter. He hit a 27-foot bomb with 1:06 left on the clock, extending the lead to 5, 97-92. That was one of the most clutch shots of the game because it was really tough for the Nuggets to close that gap from there on out in the final minute. But Jokic continued to do his best. He followed that 3-pointer up with a 9-foot hook shot off of a Monty Morris assist. That was with 53 seconds on the clock. So now the lead was down to 3. It was 94-97. But then Steph Curry comes right back, and with 29 seconds left on the clock, he dribbles around, finally finds an opening and pulls up for a 5-footer, knocks it down, and gives the Warriors another 5-point lead, 99-94 at that point. So just, you cannot say enough how incredible these two players were down the stretch, Curry and Jokic. It was just back and forth between the two of them, and ultimately Curry came out on top because that shot gave the Warriors that 5-point lead back again. The Nuggets took a full timeout, and finally Nikola Jokic misses a shot. With 25 seconds left, he took a 28-foot three-pointer but missed it, and Draymond Green was able to secure the rebound. They're able to get the ball to Steph Curry, who is fouled. He goes to the line, knocks them both down coolly, extending the lead for the Warriors to 7. Then eventually Nikola Jokic, with 8 seconds to go, he actually hits a driving layup, but it was too little too late at that point, as the Warriors were still up by 5 at that point. And then Steph Curry goes to the free throw line again, splits, goes 1 of 2, but it doesn't really matter. They're up by 6 still, 102-96. And then eventually in the last second, Monty Morris makes a layup. But like I said, too little too late for the Nuggets. An incredible effort from Nikola Jokic, scoring, like I said, 12 of his 30 points in the final 3.5 minutes of the game. Just absurd stuff for the reigning MVP, and he will likely be the 2-time MVP very soon. But all in all, it was really exciting to have the Warriors in a closeout game back in San Francisco. Well, in San Francisco for the first time. I think this was the first closeout game ever at the Chase Center. So the crowd was really into it. After that final clutch bucket from Curry, he hit the Nuggets with a goodnight gesture. So it was all in good fun, though, after the game. Draymond Green was giving Nikola Jokic props. He said, "I told him, thank you for making me better." He said, "It's an honor to play against somebody so talented, so skilled." So all in all, like the Chicago Bulls in the Eastern Conference, a disappointing end to this Nuggets season. But it was less surprising, I guess, because Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. have both been out for quite some time. And there was some speculation that they might be able to return, but ultimately they quashed that and said, no, they're both definitely not coming back. And so looking forward to next season, I'm really excited to see what this Denver Nuggets team looks like if they've got all of their guys finally back, with Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and Aaron Gordon. for the brief time that we saw all four of those guys on the court together after the Aaron Gordon trade a couple of years ago, they were incredible, but injuries obviously have derailed them for the past couple of seasons. So hopefully by the start of next season, they will be all back and healthy, and this Nuggets team will be a force to be reckoned with for years to come. And anyways, for the Warriors, they will be advancing to the next round of the playoffs, and they're going to face off against the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Memphis Grizzlies, depending on how that series goes. Game 6 is going to be coming up on Friday. The Grizzlies are leading 3-2, so more than likely it's going to be Memphis, and it's going to be an interesting matchup with Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, and Desmond Bane all slashing into the Warriors' defense. Will they be able to withstand that onslaught? Because in this game, Steve Kerr opted to reinsert Steph Curry back into the starting lineup, like I mentioned, but the player he took out was not Jordan Poole, it was Kevon Looney. So Kerr going with the super small lineup, the quote-unquote death lineup, or at least the new version of it, with Draymond Green at center, and then you've got Andrew Wiggins alongside him in the front court, and then basically the three guards, Curry, Thompson, and Poole. So it was pretty effective in this game, and we'll see how it looks going forwards, and if he's going to stick with that permanently, or if he might reinsert Kevon Looney back into the starting lineup, depending on the matchups. We shall see. But anyways, we can go ahead and move on now to the box score, and we're going to start with the Nuggets, and they were led by Nikola Jokic. He was incredible. 30 points, 19 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, and he was very efficient, as you might expect. 12 of 18 from the field in 32 minutes. Now, he actually didn't make a 3-pointer. He was 0 of 2 from beyond the arc, but he was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 6 turnovers and 5 fouls, and he was actually neutral in the plus-minus, a 0. So while he was on the court, the Nuggets were not losing this game. The turnovers and the fouls were a bit disappointing, but other than that, I mean, you can't ask for much more from Jokic, especially down the stretch when he was just knocking down back-to-back-to-back shots like crazy. Anyways, they also got 15 points from Aaron Gordon in 40 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field. Unfortunately, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. 14 points for Monty Morris and Will Barton. Barton was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 3 rebounds. And Morris was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1 steal. And then Jeff Green rounding out the starting lineup, he was 1 of 5 from the field. He had just 2 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. He was actually the team low in terms of the plus minus. He was negative 13 in his 29 minutes. Like I said, this Nuggets team just really needs to get their starters back from injury, because these guys that they have in the starting lineup, Jeff Green, Will Barton, Monty Morris, they're just not playoff caliber starters, unfortunately. But off the bench for Denver, they did get 19 points from DeMarcus Cousins, the backup big man. In just 15 minutes, he was 8 of 12 from the field against his former team. He had 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, and 1 steal. Really good minutes for Cousins, boding well for his potential next contract going into next season. And then they also got 4 points from the rookie Bones Highland, but he was ice cold in this game in 19 minutes. He was 0 of 6 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. All of his points came from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds and 2 assists. And then that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for Denver. Jamichael Green and Bryn Forbes saw the court for a while, but neither of them scored, nor did Austin Rivers or Facundo Campazzo in their limited minutes. And as for the Warriors, they were led by Steph Curry. He had 30 points to match Nikola Jokic. In 38 minutes, he was 10 of 22 from the field. He had 5 3-pointers, and he also had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Now, he did have 5 turnovers, too, but he was plus 7 in the plus-minus. So all things considered, incredible stuff for Curry, especially that shot-making late in the fourth quarter, going toe-to-toe with Jokic down the stretch. And then they also got 15 points from Klay Thompson. In 40 minutes, he was 5 of 13 from the field, only 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and a block, though. So really stuffing the stat sheet throughout the box score, despite the slightly inefficient scoring for Klay. And then they got 12 points from Andrew Wiggins in 24 minutes only. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. 11 points for Draymond Green. He had 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. And he was a team-high plus 12 in the plus-minus. So starting at center did not seem to be a problem at all for Draymond Green. Jordan Poole, however, was not quite as good in this game, starting alongside Thompson and Curry for the first time. He had 8 points only on 3 of 10 shooting in 26 minutes. He had 4 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal. So hopefully this is more of just a blip for Poole, and he can continue to try and seamlessly integrate himself into that starting lineup alongside Curry and Thompson. And off the bench for Golden State, they got 15 points from Gary Payton II. He was incredible in this game. He had 3 3-pointers. He was 6 of 8 from the field overall. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was playing crunch time down the stretch, providing that trademark incredible defense. And then those clutch buckets, those 3-pointers, were just the cherry on top. So really good stuff for Payton II. He gave his dad a quick hello after the game. And then they also got 4 points from Kevon Looney in 22 minutes. He was perfect 2 of 2 from the field, although he was 0 of 2 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And then 4 points as well for the rookie Jonathan Kuminga, although he just saw the court for 5 minutes. And Otto Porter Jr. had 3 points in 24 minutes. He had 1 3-pointer, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. All right, that will do it for our box score breakdown with just the 2 games on in the NBA last night. So we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Thursday, April the 28th. And once again, we have 3 games on, 3 game 6s. So starting off with the 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference in Toronto, the Raptors are taking on the 76ers. The Sixers lead the series 3-2, but they have lost 2 consecutive games and they are favored, but just by 1.5 points. In New Orleans, the 1-8 matchup of the Western Conference, the Pelicans are facing the Suns. They are down 2-3 in that series after the Suns won that last one in Phoenix, and they are favored in this matchup. They are -2 in New Orleans. And finally, in Utah, the Jazz taking on the Dallas Mavericks, the 4-5 matchup in the Western Conference. The Mavs lead the series 3-2. But the odds for this game are even odds. You don't see that very often, so it's pretty much a toss-up there in Salt Lake City for Game 6. All right, so 3 really exciting games tonight, and they're all in the same boat. If the higher-seeded team wins, the series is over, but the lower-seeded team has home court advantage in all 3 of these games. And they're all pretty low lines, too. No blowouts expected from Vegas, despite the fact that over the past couple of days we have had some blowouts projected, obviously with the Bucks and Warriors, big favorites last night. I was kind of right, but mostly wrong last night. We had the Bulls +12.5 for our best bet, because my rationale was that I thought that the Bucks and Warriors would both win, but that at least one of the 2 games would be close, not that I didn't think both of them were going to be total blowouts. And that was the case, except I picked the wrong one. It was the Nuggets who were able to keep the game close and cover the spread, whereas the Bulls were totally blown out. So unfortunate that we missed that one last night. We'll try to get one tonight, and we're going to go with one best bet once again. I have thoughts on all 3 of these games. So the one that I'm least confident about is the Suns at the Pelicans, because the Suns being -2, that feels about right to me. I think they have a good chance of actually winning this game and closing the series out, because they were just such a dominant team throughout the regular season. But with that being said, the Pelicans have been such a plucky team throughout this run in the postseason, winning those first 2 play-in games and then stealing 2 games off of the Phoenix Suns. So I'm not really sure which way to go. I could see it going either way, frankly. The Pelicans could push it to 7 games, but I think the Suns probably will close the series out. So I'm going to stay away from that one, definitely. I think if I had to pick, I would probably go Suns -2, but it's a stay away from me. I'm very tempted by the other 2 games, though. I would probably lean towards Raptors +1.5 at home versus the 76ers. And then I would lean towards the Mavericks. They've just got to win the game in Utah. I think they have the capability of closing that series out. Ultimately, our best bet is going to be the other one, because I fear that the Jazz could extend the series to 7 games. I feel pretty strongly that the Mavericks will be able to win this series overall, because they've got 2 chances, and Luka Doncic has been by far the best player in the series. So I would probably lean still towards the Mavericks in this game, but I'm a little bit scared off by the home court advantage and by Donovan Mitchell. Maybe he finally shows up, scores like 40 points, and leads the Jazz to a Game 6 victory, extending the series to 7. So, like I said, I would definitely take the Mavericks in the series overall, and I would probably lean Mavericks in this game, even odds, but ultimately it's going to be a stay away from me. So our best bet, like I said, is going to be the Raptors +1.5 at home versus the 76ers. Now, to be fair, this is sort of a hot pick, so I feel like the line might be a little bit juiced towards the 76ers, which is never a good sign. But with that being said, I just think that the Raptors have a very good chance of extending this series to 7 games here in Toronto. Now, like with the Mavericks, I do think the 76ers will win this series, to be sure. It's just so unlikely that a team would come back from being down 3-0. It's never happened before, and I frankly don't think the Raptors will be the first to do it. It would be exciting if they did, to be sure, but I just don't think they have quite enough juice to win 4 consecutive games. But with all that being said, I do think I'm going to take them in this game, +1.5 at home versus the 76ers. They've got all the momentum right now. They've got the home court advantage. They've got the rookie Scottie Barnes back, and he looks really good. The only player that's not at full strength for them is Fred VanVleet, but his absence actually sort of allowed them to play this super big lineup where everybody in the starting lineup is like at least 6'6", and that was really potent. Now, the problem is that they still don't really have anybody to match up against Joel Embiid. Even though everybody's big, they still don't have anybody that's like 7 foot tall. Like, the tallest player in the lineup is like either Precious Achiuwa off the bench or Pascal Siakam or Kim Birch. So they're still lacking that big lumbering center to go up against Joel Embiid. And if he goes off, he could potentially win the 76ers this game single-handedly. But I think I'm going to roll with the Raptors, the team with the momentum, and I think they will extend this series to 7, where the 76ers will finally close it out in Philly. So that's going to be our best bet, Raptors plus 1.5 at home, and that's going to do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review, and we'll be back tomorrow to recap all 3 of those games and to preview the action for Friday, April the 29th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.